welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. again, where you are really in a great position to be inspired and informed. And I do mean both. And this being true, you know, regardless of your age, if you're old enough to be hearing this program, you're old enough to be benefiting, whether it be in the near future or the distant future, by the conversation that I'm going to have. I'm going to be speaking with Mr. Torin Ellis, who has over 17 years, more than 17 years of experience when it comes to recruiting and helping others understand the art and the science of recruiting and being recruited. So this is a conversation that is for those who may be potential hirers, those who may be potential employees. Mr. Ellis, it is so good to have you with me. How are you doing today?
Mr. Thornton, I am wonderful, blessed and highly favored and appreciative that you are trusting my voice with your listening audience. So thank you very much.
You are quite welcome, quite welcome. And it is truly an honor, I consider, that you joining us to talk about something that means so much. You know, I was sharing with the listening community in 2007, 2008, 2009, don't throw in the hat when it comes to taking steps that you need to take to be in position to get some jobs when the people start hiring again, because there's still going to be good jobs out there. It's going to be so important that you're still cross-training. It's going to be so important that you're getting those college degrees, because the way things are right now are not the way it's going to be forever.
So I think that you probably gave them the best advice. Most certainly, as a recruiter, I would most certainly say that each and every individual must always keep their foot on the gas pedal or very close to such. And what that means is they need to always be in a position of dedicating themselves to self-direction, self-development. They need to find ways to motivate themselves, dig deep for that inspiration. They need to challenge themselves to not become complacent, settle for mediocrity. This world of work, being a professional, being an entrepreneur or an intrapreneur, it takes a constant vigilance in being present. And so I think that you gave them the very, very right advice. Best advice, I should say.
I appreciate you so much. And one thing about it, you're sharing that we should be keeping our feet to the pedal, constantly moving. And you were sharing with me just a little earlier, you really live by that.
No other way. You know, for me, I started recruiting 18 years ago, 1998. I walked away from corporate America and decided that if I could hire a high-performing, highly effective, highly efficient sales team for MCI Communications, then I could do the very same for a variety of other companies across the United States. And so a good friend of mine and I, we set out and started a recruiting firm. We had absolutely no business plan. I don't know about him, but I didn't have any savings. I borrowed $3,000 from a dear friend who still happens to be like a brother to me today, so that I could buy my very first Dell computer. I went to IKEA and I think I spent another $40 on table, chair, and garbage can and a clock. And the clock was very important because I needed to make sure that each and every day I was putting in the time, the same amount of time that I had put in at MCI. I needed to be putting in that same amount of time for the building of this business. So 18 years ago, that's what we did. I'm still here today, happy about it, and even more effective at doing what it is that I do. So I love my work.
That is so impressive. You obviously had a lot of courage. What other traits would you say that you and your business partner had to have going for you in order to take such a courageous step of faith?
So I can tell you that most of us live by the definition of a wage, and a wage is a basic compensation for paid labor. It's a compensation for a period of time, if you will, a wage rate, often known as hourly or income or earnings. And so what I did is I just had in my mind a very simple formula, and I characterize it as being economic rent. Total compensation minus opportunity cost equals economic rent. And what I always say to people is that there is a cost for each and every decision that we make. And in this case, an opportunity, every single thing or activity or event, networking function, whatever it is, there is some level of cost associated with that. And so for me, it just became one of those things that morning back in June or July 1998, I can't remember exactly, but it was one of those things where I woke up and I just simply said to myself, it is actually costing me more. I believe that it's costing me more to continue to go into an environment where I'm not appreciated, I'm not being recognized to the level in which I should be recognized. It is costing me more in terms of my health, my stress, the time away from my family. It is actually costing me more to run this high-performing sales team. And so I have nothing but opportunity in front of me, and so we're gonna try something new.
I tell you what, I'm impressed that you made that decision, because there are so many people, and you know this better than I do, that there are so many people who would find themselves in the same situation, have found themselves in the same situation, may be in the same situation where they're feeling underappreciated, and it's not their imagination. They probably are underappreciated. They're stressing their bodies and their souls, their minds, their emotions, and not getting fair compensation in a number of ways, but they stay there. When people do stay, what are some of the reasons that they won't go ahead and make that move, even if there is another move they'd rather make?
Well, I think I mentioned it earlier. You know, people just become complacent. People get dialed into a normal routine. They are accustomed to getting in their vehicle and taking the same route and parking in the same parking lot, walking through the same doors, security checkpoint. That becomes what it is that they enjoy doing. And before they know it, they've been involved in that process for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. We have individuals that are paralyzed by mediocrity. And that means they are just kind of stuck where, you know, I'm doing just enough to get by, and I don't have any motivation whatsoever to break beyond that boundary, to extend the perimeter to something better. And so for those individuals that are either complacent or paralyzed, struck with mediocrity, I just encourage them. I encourage them in whatever discipline they're in, whatever industry that they're in, despite the business unit, the lack of diversity, the presence of diversity, who's the leader, who's not the leader, the makeup of the team, how many, how small. I encourage those individuals that you have to move beyond your limitations. And one of the things that a t-shirt that I remember so very vividly, a friend of mine wore it. He was one of my teammates in 1998. And on the front of the t-shirt, and I'll never forget this, Carl, on the front of the t-shirt, it said, "Why did God make me black?" On the back of the t-shirt, it said, "Because he knew that I could handle it." You understand? And so that is a t-shirt that I have always reflected on. I have always told myself that it may be rough, it may be tough, I may experience some disappointment. Trust and believe that being out here for 18 years, I have experienced a number of disappointing situations, but they will never make me throw in the towel.
That is so fascinating. You know, you launched out into the deep, just a few thousand dollars alone, $3,000, $40. You didn't have much. Were there any times when you found yourself facing fear? And if so, how did you push past it?
So I think about a story of Kenneth Cole. Everyone probably knows Kenneth Cole Shoes, the shoemaker.
Yes.
And I'll abbreviate this story. So one of the ways that he was able to become so very successful is that he tricked the New York political scene, City Hall, into thinking that he was filming a movie called The Birth of a Shoe Company. And so what he did was he spent $14 to change his stationery to read Kenneth Cole Productions. He secured a parking permit from the agency responsible for that aspect. And those permits were only granted to production companies. And so he was able to do those two very small things, $14 to change his stationery, secure a parking permit, grab the trailer, put it downtown New York City or wherever it was that he parked it, and sold something like thousands of shoes, thousands of pairs of shoes over a three-day period.
Wow.
When you ask me what do I do when I experience those times, you know, I just look for the polar equivalent of persistence, and that is I have to be creative. Perfection is the enemy of productivity, and so I just try to become creative. I try to channel all of my effort and my energy into becoming creative so that I can move beyond whatever it is that's causing me pain, whatever it is that it appears to be a stumbling block for me. But I try to share the same level of consultation with my clients as well as my candidates. We all face it. We just may be looking at the situation from a different perch, but we have to figure out how to get there. And when people interact with me, that's exactly what they get, a positive force that is going to try to figure out how to make that result happen.
I love it. And you talk with a lot of people one-to-one. You talk with high school students. You talk with undergrad students about pursuing their career. You talk with people who do the hiring about recruiting decisions. Let's start with the high school students, the undergraduate students, and share with us some of the tips that you share with them about career pursuits.
So first and foremost, I let each and every one of them know that I have a high degree of focus on diversity training and diversity recruitment, if you will. I try to make sure that when I go out to, let me be more direct. I am very clear when I go out and I'm standing in front of an audience that there are some timeless and foundational things that they must do as it relates to their resume. So I make sure that I share with them the three most important aspects of their resume. For instance, use an active and vibrant language along with numbers that highlights accomplishments. I try to make sure that the young people are aware of the fact that this document is theirs. They have to be able to, with confidence, distribute that document and then be able to hold a conversation, direct attention to various areas on the resume that they feel are important, that they have to be prepared for the three phases of an interview. And people look at the interview as in just one fell swoop, but there are actually three different phases to the interview. But then last but not least, I try and often make sure that the audience understands that if you want to be a star candidate, you have to dig with a spoon and not with a shovel. And that means that when you arrive at the interview, you have to arrive having already done the work, not an individual looking for work. That is a big difference. And so for my candidates, they make it to each and every interview having already researched press releases and websites. They've looked at S1 and 10K reports. They have looked at Glassdoor and other websites. They have done a great deal of work so that the questions that they present, so that the posture that they take, everything about them says that this is the person that we should put on our team. This is not an individual looking for a job.
Wow. So in a sense, their preparation for the job, for that career, in and of itself is treated like a job?
Yeah, there's no other way. Well, put another way, the alternative leaves too much to question. And so what we try to do is we try to work as a team, and we try to make sure that we close down the need for a client or a company to question your candidacy. I need them to see you as the newest member of their team. That's how we enter into each and every conversation.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, is Mr. Torin Ellis. He is a recruitment expert. He is a diversity expert. He's talking with us about how to go about pursuing a career. He and I'll be right back.